Blog Talk Radio.
So you can download that on Amazon and you can check it out on YouTube. I've got a video with it and all of that. Okay. So just want to say hi to everybody and happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to this edition of United Christian Ambassadors Radio, also known as UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I am your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry and Church on the Phone. I would like to say a hearty hello to all of our UCA members and visitors. Hello. I want to take this little time out, actually, to since today is Valentine's Day, right? I want to take a little time out to say a special happy Valentine's Day to the love of my life, my best friend, my partner, my woman, my lover, my wife, to Cela McCain. I love you, sweetheart. Happy Valentine's Day. And I want to dedicate this song that I wrote for you, and it's about you and our love. Here it is. It's called L-O-V-E, Love. Song dedicated to call in 646-668-8537. This is a powerful message today that you don't want to miss, and you don't want your friends or family to miss it. Okay, now I understand that it's Valentine's Day, so some of you might be very busy, and you may not get a chance to dial in right now, okay? But that's no problem. Just look for this post, look for my post on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Alignable, or LinkedIn, okay? And click on the link where you see the post of today's program. You can click, if you see it next week, you can click on the link, okay? Next week, tomorrow, whatever, anytime during the day or anytime next week, tomorrow, whatever, okay? Just click on the link. When you see where the post is for today's program, wherever you see it, click on the link and you can hear the entire program from beginning to end, okay? And you don't want to miss it, so tell your friends to do the same thing. Just, if they miss it, if they're missing it right now, just click on that link anytime this week or next week or whenever, okay? Any day and time, and you can hear the entire program. All righty. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the people that have tuned in to this program today. And we ask, oh Lord, that you bless and keep them. Bless and keep them, oh Father God, so that they may understand the message as it's brought forth. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's too many people, not too many people really preach or teach on the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, many Christians don't fully understand the true meaning of the power that's in his blood. They don't even understand the importance of why Jesus died for us. Why did he give his body to suffer? Why did he shed his blood for us? Was it truly necessary for him to do all that he did? What did Jesus get from all of that? What did he get out of it? How does it benefit me today? How does it benefit you today? Okay, so just hang in there. That was my introduction. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll get all these questions answered in our message today so that we can have a full understanding about the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay, here we are. Let's go on with the message. The blood. When Adam and Eve, now we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. When Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord, it became sin. When that made their glory covering depart from them. When they sinned, the glory covering that was on them departed. Then once Adam and Eve realized that they were naked, they tried to cover their nakedness by wearing fig leaves. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed together fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. They were trying to cover their sin, which is a common thing for mankind, even to this day. Mankind is consistently trying to cover their sins. After Adam and Eve sinned, God had to make a temporary atonement for them right then and there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 31. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. It is said that God killed the first sacrifice in order to cover their sins. Another, in order to clothe them, he killed the first sacrifice. It's said that the Lord covered them with the skin of a lamb. If so, then that meant that they witnessed death for the first time, the killing of an animal. Then the Lord had them to wear the wet and bloody skin of a lamb over their bodies. The Lord did this to establish a promise to them. It was a covering. It represented a cloak of salvation. God had given them the promise that the Lord, the deliverer, is coming to redeem them and restore that they had lost, which was the glory. It was a promise that God, our Redeemer, was going to take away the punishment of their sin. Therefore, with this promise, blood had to be shed in order for it to be a true covenant, an agreement or promise. Adam and Eve received the promise of a seed that would restore them. But they had no idea when this promised seed, which was God himself, by the way, our Lord and Redeemer, was coming. But they knew that the sacrificing of a lamb or a bull, you know, giving burnt offerings unto the Lord, would cover their sins until the Lord, our Redeemer, came. So instead of God killing a lamb, it was required for them to do sacrifice and kill lambs and bulls to cover their sins. When Eve gave birth to Cain, she thought, she thought that he was their Redeemer, that promised seed. When she gave birth to Cain, that's what she thought. She thought that he was the Redeemer. Well, why would she think such a thing? Well, she heard the words of the Lord God when he placed a curse on the serpent. And this is what he said in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and he says to the serpent, upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Wait a minute. What did the Lord mean when he said he would put enmity between the seed of the woman, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? The woman doesn't have the seed. The man does. So what did God mean by that statement? This was a prophecy of the promised seed. This was prophecy. The Lord prophesied of the coming of the promised seed, the coming of the promised seed, Jesus Christ, the incorruptible seed, the Lord. That's why when Eve gave birth to Cain, she thought he was the promised seed. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. That was the King James Version. But in the original writings, Eve actually said this. She said, I have gotten a man, the Lord. She actually thought Cain was the promised seed, the one prophesied by God himself. How wrong she was. But the promised seed wasn't going to show up for another 4,000 years or so. They wouldn't even live to see him. In the meantime, they taught their children about sacrifices and burnt offerings. They taught Cain and Abel the importance of making a sacrifice before the Lord. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Why didn't the Lord accept Cain's offering? Because Cain didn't offer what was required. It was important for both of them to offer a lamb or a bull for their first fruit offering before the Lord. Abel understood this and did what was required, but Cain did not. Therefore, what he offered was not acceptable. We cannot give to the Lord or even worship the Lord the way we want. We must give and worship God in spirit and in truth, and we must do it the way God requires it. When we give the way God requires it. Give out of love. And when we worship him, worship the way God requires it in spirit and in truth. We must even make our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord in this hour, because that's what is required of us as Christians. So year after year, for many generations, all of the seed of Seth, and you know Seth, that's Adam's other son, and the Lord followed all the seed of Seth, even all the way up to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Okay, so after many generations, the Lord still following all those generations, they kept the sacrificing of lambs and bulls for the covering of their sins. All the way, they even with Noah and beyond Noah. And even Noah, after the flood, the first thing that Noah did when he came out of the ark was to make a burnt offering sacrifice unto the Lord to keep the covenant of the promised Redeemer. It was after Noah made a sacrifice to the Lord that he and his family went on to multiply and replenish the earth. Job, what did Job do? What did he do every day? He offered a burnt offering unto the Lord for his sons. Job chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He did this so that the sins of his children would be covered. The Lord made a covenant with Abraham, Genesis chapter 15, verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates. When a covenant is made, it is necessary for both people to walk between the pieces of the sacrifice together. And then they will split. So if we were making a covenant together, we would sacrifice the offering, and then we would walk between the offerings together. And then when we get to the end, we would split up. One go one way and the other go the other way. That means that no matter where we are in the world, we are in covenant together. But with this particular covenant, God himself walked between the pieces alone, because he initiated this covenant himself, and his blood would be the blood that would be required. The Lord gave Abraham a twofold promise with this covenant. He promised to give this land to his seed. In the natural, his seed was the Israelites. But in the spirit, God prophesied of Jesus. That's why the Lord said seed, meaning singular instead of plural. That promised seed is the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to covenants, a covenant is always initiated with blood. It was by the blood of the Passover lambs that the Lord delivered the Israelites from bondage to Pharaoh. It was their Passover, which means that the Lord caused the angel of death to pass over their houses because they were commanded to put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of each of their houses, and they were to eat the flesh of that lamb. The lamb's blood over their doorpost was a type of Jesus Christ. God's sacrificial lamb. We are to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ and put the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of our hearts and eat the flesh so that death will no longer eat his flesh so that death will no longer have power over us. And we do that by means of the Holy Communion. Then we'll continue to live and live forever. This is our Passover in this hour, the Holy Communion. God is always the first to initiate a covenant. He initiated a covenant with the children of Israel, and it was established in blood, the blood of oxen. You know, he initiated this one when he was out in the wilderness with them. And he established it once again with blood, the blood of oxen, an ox, oxes, bulls. This is what happened in Exodus 24, verses 4 through 8. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifice offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Moses sprinkled the whole nation of Israel with the blood of lambs. It was God establishing his covenant with the children of Israel. After the angel of the Lord appeared before Manoah and his wife, you know Manoah, the parents of Samson, Manoah made an offering to the Lord, and it is written that the angel did wondrously. So what did the angel do? Well, here's what he did in Judges chapter 13, verses 19 through 22. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering, a kid, a lamb, with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. The angel of the Lord jumped into the flame, and the smoke and everything went up to the Lord. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. The angel that they saw was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the sacrificial lamb of God. That's why he jumped into the offering and into the fire that was offered up to the Lord. Continuing now, you know, this was all during the time when the angel, when Jesus appeared to them as in the form of an angel, he was telling them about the birth of Samson, the son that they were going to have. That's why Manoah, did a sacrifice before the Lord. That's why he did it. But then they weren't expecting the angel to jump into the fire and go up. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was written for our benefit to show us. Thank you, Jesus. A prophecy. It was a prophecy from way back then. The Lord is showing throughout the years, him all throughout the Bible. Melchizedek is another one. Melchizedek did something different when he blessed Abraham. He offered him bread and wine. This was the greater blessing or in other words, this was the greater blessing the lesser. Melchizedek, the greater, who was of a never-ending priesthood, blessed Abraham, the lesser, by serving him bread and wine. And then about 2,000 years later, we have Jesus Christ, the greater, who is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he's blessing Abraham's seed, the lesser, his disciples. But instead of killing a lamb or a bull, Jesus served them bread and wine, just like Melchizedek did. Jesus didn't offer a lamb or bull because Jesus himself, who is God in the flesh, was our sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. So God did provide himself to be a lamb for us. Jesus is that sacrificial lamb that Abraham prophesied about when he told his son Isaac that God will provide a lamb. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham. Now, keep in mind, this is when the Lord told Abraham to take Isaac up to this mountain and sacrifice him. So Abraham's on his way up the mountain. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The statement that Abraham said was a prophecy. He was saying that God himself will be the lamb for a burnt offering. He was looking ahead to Jesus Christ on the cross. And he saw it. Even Jesus said it, Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. So he saw this. Jesus shed his blood in seven different places on his body while he was giving his life for us. Here are the seven ways, or the seven places, sweating great drops of blood, just coming, rolling down his face. They smote him with their fists and with a reed in his face and the pulling of his beard. And that's very painful. You ask anybody who have a beard, and someone pull your beard out, that is extremely painful. The crown of thorns on his head, being whipped, and these thorns on his head, actually, these were big, long thorns that was pressed down into his skull, and being whipped, the whips that they used back then, they had the sharp bones and metal pieces in it, and other things they had in there, so that every time you got sliced or hit with this whip, it would slice your meat. And that's what was happening with Jesus. His hands nailed to the cross. And number six, his feet nailed to the cross. And number seven, pierced on his side. Remember when the soldier pierced his side and blood and water came out. Jesus told the people before he was crucified that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, why would he say that? Well, he knew why he was saying it. It was so that we all can have life in us. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 48 through 56. The Lord said, I am that bread of life. That's why we partake of the bread and the wine. He is that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Man, he could see that these people were getting upset, but the Lord didn't stop. He still kept saying it. He went on to say, whoso eateth, and that means continually eat my flesh and continually drink my blood, hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, it's food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, continually dwells in him, and he continually dwells in us. But this was a hard saying, and many people stopped following him because they didn't understand. They didn't know how to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And the Lord never actually told all of them how to do it. He only shared it with his apostles. And then they were to share it with those who they ministered to. That was when Jesus introduced the Holy Communion. He was showing them how to eat his flesh and drink his blood. These were the words Jesus spoke in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. They were all together, and the Lord took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is how you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Keep in mind that when Jesus speaks, his words are true, because he is the word of God made flesh. And his words are life. This is what he said about his words. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. When Peter said in 1 Peter 1:23, Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth, that means continually live, and abideth, continually abide forever. When he said those words, when Peter said those words, he said it would be done by the word of God. And we receive God's word in faith. Because as it is written in Romans 10:17, this is what Paul said. He said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body, or when he says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, we must believe it, receive it in faith. And receive it, believe it, that when we partake of the Holy Communion, that we are of a surety eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Because the bread and wine, or grape juice, becomes his body and blood by faith. The elements are all blessed by God. When he shed his blood, when Jesus shed his blood, he established the New Testament. A new covenant, a new agreement, a new promise. Therefore, we must partake of his body and drink his blood as often as we will. Jesus is the real bread of life, and his blood is shed for us. And now, we, who are also of the Melchizedek order, must serve the people bread and wine. This is how we keep the Lord's death until he comes. We are keeping the promise of the New Testament, which is like a will after death, but it's God's will and testament, or God's covenant of the new agreement, the covenant of the return of the promised seed. It's the promise of the return of the promised seed. It is God binding himself to us in a pure, holy relationship and assuring us that he is our Redeemer, and he will perform the promise. Therefore, just as Job would make a burnt offering unto the Lord by sacrificing a lamb in order to cover the sins of his children, we must, in this hour, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, upon our children. We don't have to sacrifice any lambs, bulls, goats, pigeons, or anything, because Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God, who died once and for all for the entire world. So there is a difference in pleading the blood of Jesus Christ on yourself and your children, as opposed to saying, his blood be on us. When you say his blood be on us, that means that you are taking the responsibility of killing an innocent man. You have read many times in the Bible, in certain places in Scripture, where someone may have broken the law, or the Lord will tell you if you break the law, that his blood, if you kill someone, break the law, kill someone, that the person that you killed, his blood will be on your hands or on your head, or his blood will be required of you. That means that you are guilty of killing someone and you will be accountable. Well, that's what the Jews said to Pilate, because they wanted Jesus to be crucified so bad that they were willing to let his death be on their hands, be on their head. Matthew 27, verse 24 through 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, these people were just going crazy, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, innocent of the blood of this just person, see to it yourself. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. This is what they said. These were supposed to be God's people. And they're saying, his blood be on us and on our children. They didn't know what they were saying. They were actually placing a curse upon themselves and upon their children. Then released he, Pilate, released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered Jesus to be crucified. Now let me tell you this. If it wasn't for Jesus forgiving them, his blood would have definitely been on their hands, on their head, and upon their children, because they spoke it. But Jesus asked the Lord, he asked the Father, to forgive them when he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They were immediately forgiven, and now his blood was applied to them for a blessing instead of a curse, because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for the world. When we plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon our children, we simply make a declaration of faith in God, a pronouncement of blessing upon our children and our children's children and their children as well. What the world must know, and many Christians must understand, is this, and we can't take it lightly. We all must truly be born again of water, spirit, and incorruptible seed. We must truly understand the revelation of what that means. It means that we must all be changed. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus is speaking. He said, except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What exactly was Jesus saying? He was saying that we must be changed, made of the pure substance of God, having God's DNA in us, having his light, his glory, his spirit, and his righteousness dwelling in us forever. Our bloodline must be changed because it is corrupt. We know life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. But, and then it's no but, we know it.
We know life is in the blood of Jesus Christ because his incorruptible seed is in his blood. Therefore, we have life in us because we partake of him. After his blood is fully in us, then we are changed and able to fully enter into the kingdom of God. Did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ is no longer have the appearance of red, you know, the earthly appearance of red blood? Jesus' blood now no longer have that appearance, red earthly blood. No, his blood is light. That's how it is right now. His blood right now is light in the kingdom of heaven. God is going to make all things new, and that includes mankind, the heavens and the earth. The earth must be born of water, spirit, and incorruptible seed, as well as mankind. Did you know that the earth has already started the processes of the new birth, just like us? It happened during the time, it started during the time of Noah. The earth was baptized with water, which was the flood of Noah. And we are baptized in water. The earth received the body and blood of Jesus Christ when Jesus was sacrificed on the cross and his blood was spilled on the ground, you know, in the earth. So the earth received the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we also receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ after accepting him and taking the Holy Communion. So now the only thing left is for the earth and for mankind is to receive the fullness of his Holy Spirit and fire anointing, which was prophesied in Joel 2. The earth is waiting for this just as we are. And I'm talking about the physical earth. And that Holy Spirit and fire that we are waiting for is the full outpouring of his Spirit that we know as the sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, which is the seven spirits of God going out into the world to bring forth the kingdom of God. That's just what we need to complete our new birth process, and that's exactly what God is doing in this hour. But first things first, we must all fully and truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him in our lives, obey his word, love him, and be covered and changed by his blood. It is important that our blood is changed, because if we remain in our fallen nature, death will be the result. That's why it is written that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, which means fallen flesh and blood. We must lose the blood of fallen Adam and take on the blood of the glorified Jesus Christ. We must have the life of Jesus Christ in us. Therefore, we are required to eat his flesh and drink his blood in faith, which is the Holy Communion. God is creating a new creation man, the new humanity, made after the full likeness and image of the glorified Jesus Christ. This was foreordained that we would be conformed and even transformed into the Lord Jesus Christ, into the image of his Son, the glorified Jesus Christ. It's been written, this is our destiny. And that's why we must understand how important the blood is. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing poor child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate. He's longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he said, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
Listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Here's our scriptures for the week. Genesis 3:7, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed together fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. Genesis 4:3-5. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Job 1:5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This did Job continually. Genesis 22:7-8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Hallelujah. Here's another song by T. Myra McKay.
Always living victory.
Lord. So glad that you guys tuned in to the broadcast. And you don't know how grateful I am to know that we have our regular listeners that's always listening in. And I pray that you're being blessed by our programs and that you will also join us on Wednesday when I team up with my wife, Tasila, and we have a Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. And we have special guests. We have a special guest this Wednesday, and we want you to join us and be blessed. We just pray that our programs are a blessing to you. So if you get a chance, drop us a line, say something, you know, on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you see a post of our shows or whatever, just drop us a line and let us know that you're listening and that if you're being blessed, it will be a blessing to us. So we'll be here next week with UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message hosted by T. Meyer McCain at 3 p.m. Pacific time, so check your time zone, and Christian Talk on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. with T. Meyer and Tasila. So check your time zone and dial in or click on the picture or link wherever you see the post of our shows, and you can listen to the entire program from beginning to end. Okay? God bless you all, and see you next time. Bye-bye.